I messed up. I was promoting Josh Newberg as up next. And I accidentally, and I didn't even know I did this until Josh up in London, that Josh, said, thanks, Bill. I didn't know I was next on the show. Anyways, Josh Newberg is with us. We got lots of Joshes hanging around here, too. What's up, Berg? How you doing this morning, sir?
Hey, who would be more exciting to talk about the FSU spring game, me or Josh from London?
Well, now, you got to remember, Josh is your cush buddy. He probably could get by. He could probably do it.
No, I think he would probably be better at it. I mean, I think it would be more entertaining, at least, than having me do it.
He'd make stuff up, which would be entertaining, right? That'd be pretty good.
They say that's what I do as well, but...
Tell us, obviously, I saw some clips. I did not watch the spring game, but I saw some McKenzie Milton clips, the highlights, the deep throws and all that. But give us a general viewpoint on the FSU spring game.
I think it was kind of what we thought it was going to be. Neither quarterback really separated themselves throughout the spring, and then you also saw that in the spring game. Although, I'll say just my opinion, I thought McKenzie Milton – played well. I think he's going to end up being Florida State starter. Have maintained that throughout the spring, not just from watching the spring game. I just don't think Jordan Travis, you know, in a vacuum in one game, he can look good, but his running style, as we talked about on your show all last year, he can't sustain that throughout the year. We'll see if McKenzie Milton can behind that offensive line, but he is going to throw the ball a little bit more. Overall, you saw Florida State on the field. They don't have a lot of great team size. I think that's one of the biggest things you see them lacking right now still. It's just overall team size. Speed as well, especially on offense with the playmakers. Florida State really needs Destin Hill to come in and be a guy. Andrew Parchment, the wide receiver transfer from Kansas, needs to come in and be somebody that they can lean on, because really, you know, they don't have a lot of great number one wide receivers on their team right now, and they need somebody to step up in that role. I thought on defense the tackling was better. There was some aggression. There were some hits. The defense is going to be incrementally better. I mean, they were really bad last year, if you remember, and I don't think we're going to see a complete turnaround in year one. But so far, Jermaine Johnson from UGA, the defensive end, outside linebacker transfer, he has been as good as advertised. FSU really needs to keep him healthy all year, because they've been struggling so much with their pass rushing, and Jermaine Johnson could come in and instantly fix that. So he was a pleasant surprise this spring. But overall, you know, Bill, I think we're looking at probably a 6 or 7 win team right now coming out of spring, based on what I've seen.
That was my next question. You went right to it. Your projection based on what you've seen so far, and you just laid it out for us. So the build-out's going to continue, and it needs to be personnel acquisition, right?
But they won 3 games last year.
Yeah.
You know, so 6 or 7 doesn't sound so bad. I mean, 6 or 7 to an FSU fan that just woke up in a coma from 15 years ago, 6 or 7 wins sounds terrible, but you know, it's baby steps. It's not going to happen as fast as fans want to, but it is, I think, moving in the right direction. And due to things like the transfer portal and recruiting now, freshmen playing early, you can turn it around a little bit quicker than normal. So I think if the ball bounces the right way, Mike Norvell gets 7 wins, I think that would be a great year for them.
Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports, also the Big 3 Roll-Up, is with us. He joins us on Thursdays. What are you hearing from Miami and Florida as far as their spring is concerned? Any news that jumps out?
We were on the Big 3 Roll-Up yesterday, and I asked him, like, are you guys excited about your team? Because it doesn't sound like anybody's really that excited. Like, UF sounds very cautious heading into this year, because they didn't get to see anything in the spring. Talking about UF fans, they seem very cautious this year because they didn't get to see a spring. There was no spring game, and all the practices were closed. So any information that trickled out was controlled by Mullen and the boys. But you know, losing all the production that they lost, I get it. They feel like they've recruited well and they're reloading, but anytime you lose your starting quarterback and all the pieces around him, I mean, it's got to be nerve-wracking. And then Miami plays their spring game this weekend. It's going to be televised on the ACC network. Up until this point, Miami has had all their practices closed. They've released some film, some things like that, but again, controlled. So I think this weekend, Miami fans will all be tuned into the ACC network to get their first look at Miami this spring and see what they're doing in the spring. Because with Derek King out, they're hoping he's going to be back. But we've seen guys come off of ACL injuries, and sometimes they're just not the same. So I think quarterbacking in this spring game is going to be important for Miami.
Mike up in New Jersey. Bill, listening to Berg right now, how the heck did Florida State erode like this? Wow.
Oh, I've been on the show for the last couple of years.
I know, it's not new.
Jimbo Fisher kind of falling asleep on the job his final 2 years there, and then FSU makes a really bad hire with Willie Taggart. He started off recruiting well, but then as soon as they hit the field, you know, nobody was buying into that program. So he left without signing a high school quarterback. You remember that? And also in the 2019 recruiting class, Florida State did not sign a skilled offensive player. I made a tweet about that. Of course, FSU fan jumped down my throat in the moment. But, I mean, can you imagine Florida State Seminoles not signing a single skilled offensive football player? You're in the state of Florida. You can't avoid them. It's like when fish are jumping in the boat. Sometimes you just it's inevitable. And so there's some really bad lapses in recruiting. Really going back all the way to 2016, 2017, and it adds up.
If you're in the state of Florida, where the beaches are aplenty, the weather is pretty good year-round, and you have a massive population of people who either live there or are moving there, there's no excuse when it comes to skilled players. There's zero,
no.
Right? I mean, gosh.
No, zero. And Florida State, it's crazy to say, but I've been saying this on the Big Three Roll. Florida State has a bunch of number three wide receivers. Like, if you look at their roster, Keyshawn Helton and Ontario Wilson and Jordan Young and some of these guys you'd be happy if they were your number three, but Florida State just doesn't have a one and a two on the roster. They got a bunch of these threes, and I think that's kind of what you see, what happens when you stop recruiting skill players, when you stop landing the guys that are at the top of your board, you start settling, you know, you look like an average slow team. And that's kind of what they're fighting against.
Jess Newberg with us, and we were talking prior. The news is out. Now, it was expected, but the NCAA will officially, I think today is the day, approve a one-time freebie transfer. That's before grad transfers. Anybody, mm-hmm. You get a one-time freebie, Berg, you don't have to tell anybody why. It doesn't have to be an extenuating circumstance. You just get to do it. What will this mean? What will this lead to?
Do you think it'll lead to more? There's a lot of kids in the portal right now. There's a lot of football players in the portal right now without homes.
Right.
And we haven't really seen the stories coming out about too many lower level athletes moving on up. I mean, it's here and there, but for the most part, you know, you got walk-ons at Florida State entering the transfer portal. There's just so many, there's an abundance of athletes in the transfer portal. It's kind of like the NCAA already said, like, all right, here, have at it. And I don't know. Do you think anybody learned anything from this first 2 years, or do you think when the one-time transfer rules, there's going to be even more movement? I don't know.
I think what is not being learned is I don't know if players think that just because they're somewhere that they enter the transfer portal and they automatically just have a scholarship? I don't know if they understand this. You're not owed anything.
I don't think that they did, but I think now that we've seen so many go in and not come out, or go in and end up at a place like Troy or, you know, UAB, some of these places, rather than a Power Five, maybe now there's enough cautionary tales out there for other players to not run off and do the same thing, but who knows?
What is next on the Big Three Roll-Up Podcast?
It's out right now, Bill. I think, what time is it? It's 7:30 a.m. our time, so it dropped a half hour ago. We get into a bunch of Big Three talk. There's so much going on in recruiting at Florida State, a bunch of five-star DBs on campus. We recap that. We talk about Deshaun Watson. We took some life coach questions. What else did we do? It was a full show. It was fun. But it's out on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, and since the main job of 24/7 Sports is recruiting, like you and I have always talked, they also announced, along with the freebie transfer that should be approved today, that the dead period that kept getting extended, is going to come free on June 1, Bergs. And that's why I've been noticing players announcing official visits last few weeks. I kept thinking, now, wait a minute. Why are you doing this when there are no official visits? And apparently, Berg, they've been told probably privately by schools and coaches, this is about to free up.
Yeah, the word's been out for a couple weeks. I was told behind the scenes at Florida State that when I asked them, I was like, do you guys think the dead period's going to end on May 1? And they were like, yeah, you know, or on June 1. And they said, yeah, we got plans to roll out camps right away. And you had seen UCF, you know, even 3 weeks ago, they announced their camp plans. They just tweeted out. And they just said simply, like, hey, if the dead period gets extended, these are off. But if it doesn't, we're ready. And pretty much every school across the country, I believe, has been making plans for this, and nobody's going to be caught flat-footed. I think every college in America is going to be ready to roll out visit plans and camp plans. And FSU tweeted theirs. We wrote about it on Knowles 24/7 yesterday, but they're going to have a camp the first weekend. They're having a camp basically every week. They're going to have a 7-on-7. They're going to have a QB only, a specialist one. June's going to be a busy month.
Berg, see you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, Bill. Talk to you. Bye.
There you go. Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports.